This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi guys, I'm Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Beard, and I am with my gorgeous friend Richie Swan, and we are a girl and a guy in the gym.
Hey, I nearly never turned up today because my Peloton bike's just turned up.
Happy Peloton Day!
Happy Peloton Day! It's arrived!
Knew the way they go, let's go Peloton! I'll be like, let's go Richie Swan!
I can't wait. Well, do you know what? We've got to link our bikes up together.
Yeah.
Because we can compete against each other then. Also, name drop, our old guest Alexandra Burke is a Peloton fanatic, so we'll all have to connect up with each other and race each other on it.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait to get it set up, so that's my goal for today.
You're getting ragged on the Peloton. So series four, we are spending every episode with a new guest. We've got a new person every single week to come in and talk to us about their careers in the spotlight, give us some tips and tricks, talking about their lockdown experiences and how they can inspire us and what we might learn from them and their journeys, and also just a little bit of a jangle because, you know, I love goss and so does Rich. Right, anyway, he's in the waiting room, so let's crack on, shall we?
This week's guest, I am so excited for this. As a gay man, right, this fella, what he done? Do you know what? It's actually because of him I was able to come out. So, remember Queer as Folk? We have Craig Kelly, who plays Vince in Queer as Folk. That's not all he's famous for. He's done everything, but that is why he's my hero. Craig, welcome on.
Aw, thanks, mate. It's a nice intro.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, lad? You all right? I said to myself I wouldn't do the Scouse accent, but it's in me, I'm afraid. The Scouse is in me. Do you know what I mean, lad? Do you know what I mean? No, I'm half Scouse, aren't I? You know what I mean? My dad was from Two Dogs.
No way. Is your dad from Heighton?
He was, yeah.
So have you got family still here?
I have, yeah. Yeah. Cousins, aunties, uncles. Yeah, yeah. It's got a place in my heart. Of course it has, Liverpool. Just, and you know what? When I listen to You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah.
Every single time, I almost burst into tears.
Oh.
You know, for many, many different reasons. For one, it was one of my dad's favourite songs. You know, for two, it's the Liverpool anthem. But it's just like the song itself is so beautiful.
Yeah. How's your lockdown been? How are you getting on?
Oh, mate, do you know what? This one's been hard. Yeah. This one's harder. But, I mean, it's proper hit me. I've got to be honest with you. The first one, the sun was shining, the rosé was flowing. I was doing your classes.
Yeah.
I was really, it was like the novelty of it all, and I suppose the fear of it all, of being in lockdown, it somehow wasn't so bad.
I think it was like an adrenaline thing as well with people, wasn't it? Because it was so unfamiliar. We were all like, oh, you don't know what else to do other than like have a wine. And
yeah,
we were just pissed for the whole lockdown. So.
We were pissed, hungover, and doing your classes.
So what's been different about this one? Is it just...
Do you know what, mate? It's the homeschooling,
yeah.
Like, for one. That's been... It's just... Although it's got easier, when it was announced this time that we were going into lockdown, I mentally went into a different place because it's almost like I've had enough, the novelty's worn off, yeah. I can't believe, because being a parent with two young children, it's pretty much full on. And it's pretty much, like, I've got a new motto, right? Forget day by day, forget hour by hour, it's minute by minute.
I get what you mean.
Do you know what, mate? I need your help, actually, mate, because I've got myself into a bit of a rut. I need to get my exercise back going. I've really struggled to just get it going, you know? Half the time, I've got no energy.
Because before lockdown, like, you were into all your kickboxing and everything, aren't you?
Yeah.
Obviously, last lockdown, you were doing the... I was going to say, what are you doing now to keep fit?
You know, my kickboxing's gone, my football's gone, and normally with those two, I get a level of fitness that a run for me is a piece of piss, right? But what's happened is when my fitness levels go down, it's almost like, I don't know if it's psychological, but I can't be arsed going for the run. So to be honest with you, the exercise I'm doing at the moment, right, is a lot of walks with the kids, a lot of steps, a lot of...
Did you say walks to the fridge?
Yeah, that's my shuttle runs. That's my shuttle runs, yeah. Walks to the fridge, late at night, preferably, when the kids are in bed. No, walks, you know, walks with the kids, going to the park. And you know what? My exercise quota has really, really gone down. And I've noticed it's the whole thing is linked. Like, because I've sort of struggled a little bit with this lockdown, I'm not going to lie, I've found it a struggle. I know the answer is exercise, but what's happening is my boy's not sleeping through the night quite a bit, so I'm getting like a broken sort of sleep cycle, which means that when I'm dealing with the kids, I'm kind of tired. I'm almost like not finding enough time in the day to go and just have a run, you know. But the only bit of exercises I can claim to is carrying my little boy up and down those stairs.
How old are your kids?
Frida is 10 and Vincent is 5. But Vincent has this thing where, you know, he's like, you know, he's quite a big boy for 5. And if you take him up and down those stairs all the time, I promise you that's pretty much the only real exercise I can claim that I'm doing.
Well, that's going to change tomorrow because you're sorting your shit out tomorrow.
Well, this is it, mate. I've got to. And I have to. No, because your classes are amazing and you know that. But it's just testament to how hard I found this lockdown that I know that if you know, your classes are going to help me. I know that.
We have guests on every single week and, you know, we've had so many people come on and be like, yeah, well, this lockdown, I've just really hammered it and done this and done this and done this. And do you know what? In a way, I feel like this is more of a representation of how a lot of people are feeling. And like a lot of people are actually going, do you know what? Actually, in theory, I would love to be able to say I'm getting up every single day and doing a massive workout, or I'm getting up and I'm eating really healthy and I'm a vision of health at all times, when in reality, especially parents and most people now are at the moment where just going, it's grey outside, I'm really stressed, my kids are up the wall, I'm up the wall, I don't know whether I'm coming or going, and I physically feel like I haven't got time to even catch my breath, never mind do everything else. And it's almost refreshing to see that somebody like you, who's always been fit and has always been so proactive, can turn around and go, do you know what, mate, I'm fucking struggling as well.
You know, I wanted to be honest about it, actually, because it's almost like, let's have a chat about that. You know, you advised me how I can just get myself out of this little rut. It's just a mini rut, because I have exercised all the time, constantly, since I can remember. And the one thing this lockdown has done, for whatever reason, it's put me in this frame of mind where I either can't be bothered, I'm not inspired, or I feel that I just don't have the energy, you know? So let's start here. This is it, right? All right, I'm doing the class tomorrow, okay? Okay.
Hey, this is it tomorrow. That's it. That one class will change it then. All you need, it's the one step and then you're on it. With all this going on, have you been able to still work? Like, obviously, you said you had voiceover work yesterday and stuff like that.
What did you think it was, Richie? What did you think VO work was?
Craig messaged me and went, I've got a VO tomorrow. And I was thinking, shit, he must be going to visit someone in jail. He's got a visit in order. That's why I messaged him and I went, hey, Craig, what's a VO?
But yeah, listen, you know, here's another thing about this whole thing is, you know, this has happened to a lot of people, but my livelihood has almost been taken away from me. You know, I mean, I did my own podcast to keep me sane. You know, I record it from my airing cupboard. And, you know, that was amazing, you know, to keep my juices flowing, creative juices. But in terms of voiceovers and acting, no, they've almost been decimated. It's only now, thank God, I've been in a booth today for nearly 6 hours doing two episodes of something called Rich Holiday, Poor Holiday. And it was almost like I was told at the start of the new year, I almost cried because my agent said, oh, you've got 24 episodes of your documentary. And I almost cried because I was thinking, do I retrain as a bin man who is very good at being a clown? I mean, if you've trained all your life to be an actor and a voiceover artist and you've not had to question what else you need to do in this world apart from being a parent, right? When that is taken away from you, as it has been with COVID, it's been, you know, you've had to dig deep. You've had to dig deep. So thankfully, amazingly, I've got work for the, you know, for the next 3 or 4 months. But before that, apart from the odd little bits, you know, sort of bit here, bit there. Nothing, mate. Nothing. It's been proper parenting central, you know, which is a very valuable job, of course. But you need that, you know, that stability to know that a job's around the corner. But what COVID has done, it's just it took away all of that. Because let's face it, my job is not a certain thing anyway. It's not a certainty anyway. But to think to yourself, is it ever coming back? That's another thing that COVID has done. It's taken us all to a place we've never been before.
Let's move this on to, have you watched It's a Sin?
Oh my God, of course I have. Oh, what an amazing show.
Because was it the same director as Queer as Folk?
He's the same writer. The same writer, Russell T. Davis. Yeah, and it's the same producer, Nicholas Schindler. And basically, I was talking to Russell on my podcast called Kelly's Heroes, which is available all around the internet. It was called Boys then, and they changed the title to It's a Sin, you know, because apparently if you put boys into a Google search, you can get all sorts. So they decided to change it to not boys, but it's a sin. But I remember him talking about it, and he said, Craig, I am so proud of this show. It's one of the best things I've ever done. I'm so proud of it. It's you know, I can't wait for you to see it. And do you know what? It reminds me in a huge way of Queer as Folk. There's something of the zeitgeist of it. There's something groundbreaking in it. There's something that's really connected with people. And what's interesting is there's comparisons with COVID and the way that COVID's been dealt and stuff. And if you look at the way, you know, the gay community was treated and how the press were about the community, you know, and about this disease and just about like how it took people's lives away. And now, thank God, you know, it's pretty much cured. You know, you don't have to die from any anymore, thank God. But it seems to have touched a lot of hearts and, you know, and a lot of souls and a lot of nerves, you know, and it's brought back, you know, some memories, I would say.
I remember Queer as Folk come out, like, as a kid growing up in the 80s with the whole, that AIDS advert when it was, and then discovering my sexuality and being terrified. And in my head, as a young kid in like a small town, I was going, if I come out, I'm going to get AIDS. That was just the thought I had, and it was petrifying. And then I remember watching Queer as Folk, and I was like, wow, this isn't what I've had in my mind, what gay life is about. And then that opened my eyes, and I come out 6 months after that.
Oh, amazing.
Do you know, as a straight man playing a gay role back in 1998... that is groundbreaking and it's big. Did you question whether, did you have any doubts in your mind about playing the role or what it could bring to it?
I've got to be honest, I was nervous. I was nervous about taking it on because when I first got the script, it was called Queer as F *K. And I was like, well, this is interesting. And I read that first script and this is a true story. They weren't sure whether they were going to see me for Stuart or for Vince. And I read it. My agent had said, I'm going to send you a script. They want to see you for Stuart, who is, you know, who is the sort of one that has all the sex. And I remember reading this first episode thinking, I don't think I'm brave enough to do this. This is going to take an enormous amount of courage for a straight actor to do this. In fact, you know, for any actor to do this. And then I was like, oh, you know, that's a shame, because it's an amazing series. And then just a little compliment slip just fell out of the script, and it said, dear Craig, we'd love to see you for the role of Vince on Tuesday. Vince, I can do Vince. He's the shy, quiet one. And before I knew it, I was down to the last two. And the next thing I was screen testing with three Stuarts. And I remember the two first Stuarts coming in, and I thought, God, these guys are great. And then something about the chemistry between me and Aidan, and that, just something happened. And I was like, you know, this guy's going to get it. Whether I get it or not, I don't know, but this guy's going to get this part.
Don't ever say, this guy is going to get it, when you're a straight guy playing a gay man.
Well, he was quite sexy. I just think, God, to have been involved in that and, you know, as an actor, to have done something that I continually get messages, you know, every week at least, of people saying, you changed my life, it changed my life, thank you, still, you know, still one of my favourite shows ever. I take amazing pride in that and amazing, pride is the key word, but also just the fact that, God, if you can tell a story that makes people happier and helps to change their life or helps them to be who they are as an artist, that's all you can be. You know, that's all you can hope for.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
I was work before Queer as Folk and then doing Queer as Folk and then opportunities after. Has there been a massive change?
Queer as Folk opened a lot of doors, but it also, because I was so well known for that role, it sort of might not necessarily have been that easy for me to get the roles that I wanted, if that makes sense. But no, that's no complaint, because I wouldn't change it for the world. And your ultimate spin-off is the fact that you're well known and it gets you to make an amazing living doing voiceovers, which it incidentally started from Queer as Folk, because the very first lines of Queer as Folk 1 are me going, I spent all night chasing after some bloke who turned out to be mad. Like, really mad. He had every episode of Juliet Bravo on tape. So that was basically my audition for the voiceover world. I did Shipwrecked for years, coming up on Shipwrecked. On Van Tiger Island.
Harriet's nearly dropped dead.
Oh my God! You did? I watched every episode of Shipwrecked and I'm like, oh my God.
Hold on. I'll get closer. Coming up on Shipwrecked, over on Tiger Island, loads of Fitbits talking possibly about nothing, but we don't care. Join us after the break. They were all so lovely looking, weren't they? And then you'd hear my voice. You'd hear my voice over it, slightly hungover.
What do you prefer, doing acting or VO with?
Voiceovers are a lot easier. Voiceovers are a complete joy in terms of, you know, you're getting paid to speak behind a mic. It's a great job. I'd been going along doing theatre, doing films, I was in Titanic, for God's sake.
And Spice Girls the movie.
I thought you weren't going to mention that. hey, hold on. Let me tell you the Spice Girls story, right? Because this is a good soundbite. What happened was, I'd just done Titanic, right? I felt like a pretty serious actor, right? I was just worked with Jim Cameron, right? And his mates called him Jim, so I was calling him Jim left, right and centre. Jim, can I have a word about the script, please, Jim? And he'd be like, yeah, Craig. It's Craig.
Craig.
That's what I said, Craig. Jim, it's Craig. So anyway, I came off, right, and I got this offer. It was like £1,000 for like 2 hours work. Do you want to play this character? I said, what's the role? She said, handsome man. I said, I'll do it. Right? So there's one thing, right? So I turn up and I'm a bit nervous, you know, about meeting the Spice Girls, but I thought, it's all right. I'm only doing my scene with Jerry. So, you know, I probably won't meet them, right? So I turn up and I go to my trailer and there is a massive sign on the trailer saying handsome man. I was like, oh God, how embarrassing. And then I started doubting myself because I think I might have been slightly hungover going, I think I've been miscast. But it's all right, just take the money, you'll be fine. So I went in, I remember getting changed and thinking, okay, it's cool. No one's bothered. I walk out, all of the Spice Girls and Alan Cumming are just stood waiting for the handsome man.
For the handsome man to walk out.
To walk out of the trailer like that. With the arms unfolded. And I walked out and it was like, their reaction was like the longest 2 seconds of my life. And Alan Cumming went, you'll do. That's what he said. And all the Spice Girls went, yeah, you'll do. Hello. And then I went on set, and then I tried to play the comedy value of it, that every man was scared of Jerry, right? So I ended up playing it. If you've ever seen it, I play it like a little bit nervous, a little bit jittery. I totally, you know, so left my ego at the door, and I thought, all right, I'm still handsome man, but let me play him nervous handsome man. So anyway, long story short, I told my family, I told all my friends, I told everyone I was playing handsome guy in the Spice Girls film. So about 20 of us went to see the Spice Girls film in Muswell Hill at the Odeon. And everyone watches it, everyone loves it, everyone's great. And we all wait for the credits at the end. And we're all waiting for handsome man. And it just said, nervous guy, Craig Kelly. I was demoted to nervous guy. Oh my God.
Last year, you also wrote, produced and acted your own film, didn't you? Hide and Seek.
Trick and treat, even trick or treat, even hide and seek.
Oh, trick and treat, trick or fucking hell. Hide and seek, trick or treat, I mean trick or treat.
My God, no, that's the snuff movie. You've got to leave that in.
It wasn't trick, it wasn't hide and seek, it was trick or treat.
I love
what is wrong with
hold
you?
On. Oh, Craig, I'm very proud of you. You wrote, produced, starred in your own movie. So impressed, loved it. Hide and seek. What? Hide and seek, brilliant, loved it, loved the poster.
No, but how did you go about that? So
basically, what it was me and my brother-in-law, Geraint Anderson, basically got talking, and we both said, almost at the same time, let's make a film. And then we had a drink and we said, what should we make it about? And we both had kids. We've both partied in our day. We've both kind of struggled with the early, say, the first year of having a kid, because it's brutal. I'm sorry. It's pretty brutal. There's a lot of joy. There's a huge, you wouldn't change it for the world, but my God, there's no handbook. No one actually takes you to one side and says, this is what's going to happen. At that point, you're going to feel like you're in the trenches here, right? And also, men don't really talk about their feelings about it. You know, I don't think they're allowed, really. You know, who wants to hear that a man is struggling with it? You know, you can't exactly say you've got postnatal depression.
Do you know what? Harriet's fella is going to be made up. You're saying this.
Yeah, I've got a one-year-old.
If you are, well, then you go. You know what I'm talking about, right?
He says all the time, like, he's like, he wants to start doing, like, become like some type of a counsellor for men, because he's like, guys don't talk. And he was like, when we had the baby, he massively struggled because he was used to getting up and his entire day being about him and going to bed and his night being about him. And then honestly, he was probably about 9 months behind me, because I think for women, the second you're pregnant, you're having that baby, and that baby is your entire life. For a man, it doesn't
until
happen until you get home from
there,
the hospital.
Yeah. So it's true.
Yeah, it's a fucking shock, and it was a massive shock to him. So it's cool that you're talking about it, because I've never really spoke to a man who was happy to talk about it before.
Oh, I've made a film about it. So me and Geraint got talking, and we went, what is it that we want to talk about? And we both went, well, let's talk about a few things, one of which is being a slightly older father, and, you know, being in your 40s is kind of tough at times anyway, but having a baby in your 40s, it's like, you know, you're almost hit from all sides. But anyway, you know, we came up with this idea of, what if this guy was an ex-gangster, he moves back to his hometown, he has a baby, he gets some kind of postnatal depression, and you find out during the course of the film, without giving anything away, that maybe people are concerned about his mental health. And that's what we did, and we wanted to tell a story about a depressed man in the least depressing way possible. And hopefully Richard will back me up here. There's a lot of dark humour in it. There's a lot of laughs, isn't
it
there?
There's a lot of laughs, yeah. That sounds like silly.
And we made this film that I will be forever proud of. I filmed with my real-life brother. I wrote it with one of my best friends. I produced it. I helped write it. We independently produced it. I was filming in pretty much my hometown. My mum and dad were on my local pier, St. Anne's Pier. And not only this, my dad was ill at the time, okay? And so, you know, so I knew we had limited time with him. And I got him in the film. He plays a cameo in the film. He plays a gangster in my film. He's immortalized in my film. Oh. And, you know, yeah, and I mean, I'll tell you a story, and I don't mind sharing it because it's the way the universe works. Me and my brother went to the world premiere in Spain at the Marbella Film Festival, and we just seen my dad, and we said to him, "We'll see you when we get back." And he was weak, you know, but we didn't expect him to go, and so we were watching the film. And he comes on the screen, and me and Dean got goosebumps, and we grabbed all of each other and went, "Oh, dad, wow!" And it was, you know, a real moment. A long story short, we came out of the film, and eventually, when I turned my phone on after all the press, my mum called me, and she told me that my dad had passed away. But the incredible thing about it, and I honestly, he died. At say, you know, I'm not sure the exact time, but let's say it's 8:30. He died at 8:30, okay? He came on that screen at 8:35. So he passed away, and then he came on and basically tried to upstage me. The way the universe works is absolutely crazy. And I take great comfort from that because, you know, we had time to prepare. Because, you know, he wasn't well for a time. But, you know, they gave him between 1 and 10 years. And he got about 7.5 years. And he died peacefully. So for him to know that his boys were together, he knew exactly where we were. Yeah. I think he chose when he was going. And that's why you'll never walk alone. If I cried before when I listened to it, my God, now... It just if you put it on now, yeah. I'd just be like, you know, because that was his favourite song when we played it at his funeral, you know.
Yeah, and the fact that you got to work with him in your film and you've got that memory forever, it's like...
Oh, yeah, and he's great in it. Yeah. He's great in the film.
So you've had a fucking tough couple of years. That's like, so you've got your dad going into lockdown.
COVID.
Times
Having no, totally having, you know, having what appears to be my livelihood perhaps taken from me. Yes. Oh yeah, but do you know what? I'm a sort of half full glass guy.
Yeah.
And I for me, you know, if I can just get myself exercising again, back to the level I was, I'll be happy. But let's face it, if we can just get to spring, that's it now. Well, you know, get to spring.
Baby steps.
Get to spring.
The daffodils will be coming out. You can see all my rooms yellow because I get sad syndrome and it was all blue. Yeah, so I got rid of everything blue and I've replaced it with yellow because it just makes me feel happier to look at colour. So I was like, right.
It's a healing colour, yellow. It's healing.
But that's the thing about you, Richie. You're so full of joy, mate. I mean, you're so full of energy. I mean, do you have moments where you're not like that? Or do you know what I mean? Is that when you're on or is that, are you in the main, like,
I think I am a glass half full kind of person, but I am a bit of a worrier as well. But I'm an ever the optimist, but I'll worry about everything as well. So
you'll always do it, but you'll be a nervous wreck until we've done it.
And how do you guys know each other?
We worked in the same spinning studio. Yeah,
oh, brilliant!
Yeah,
we both loved each other's classes, so started going to each other's classes.
Yeah.
And then just become good mates and then start to get having a few beers together, a few wines.
You're a great combo. You're like, you know, hand to glove, man.
Oh, thanks.
You've got a lovely chemistry, a lovely vibe.
Out, you'll have to come down for a beer with us.
Oh, mate. My God, absolutely 100%. Love that. Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, love.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, babe, how lovely is Craig?
Out of everyone, this series, just because of, like, where I've come from and everything, like, I was so made up to get him on and, like, speak to someone who has literally changed my life through his work. It was like, a dream to be able to go, do you know what? Thank you for what you've helped.
He's such like a strong character, but then at the same time, he was like, he's so open with who he is and what he is, and he's like, doesn't ask for permission to be who he is. And, you know, even if you're gay or straight or whatever you are, like he was so like, I don't know, I just found him really like inspiring in a way to be like, do you know what? Fuck what people say is normal and what this, that and the other. Do you know what I mean? Sorry for swearing, but do you know what I mean? And this is normal and you can explore yourself and you can be who you are and be what you want to be. He's lovely, isn't he?
Yeah. And you can't even imagine what it's like to be in something so groundbreaking and life-changing for its time. It's like, it was huge.
Right, so what should we do as our challenge for the week, Rich?
After talking to Craig and he was saying about falling off the exercise wagon, let's try and get everyone back on the exercise wagon. So if you go onto my Insta TV on my Instagram, richie.swan, and scroll through, you'll see we've got some saved classes that me and the gym beard used to teach together last lockdown on a Sunday morning. So let's get up, get your gym kit on, let's get physical, and let's get some of our workouts done and start feeling good.
So that's all from us this week, gang. And we will see you next week with our next very, very special guest,
Meg Matthews. Oh, can't wait. See you next week.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together. And now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost 3 pounds this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost 3 pounds this week. Whoa! I'm down to 17 stone four.
I have also lost 3 pounds this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am 1 pound down this week.
All
well
good,
done, mate.
We've all lost progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a that's more than my baby weighed when he was born, so we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.